What's going on, guys? Today's Monday, August 15th, 2022. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. I want to talk about this story because it's important. It's very important. You need to know your doctor, right? I spoke about this a couple days ago with the Brazilian butt lift doctor in New York. That's something, I mean, Brazilian butt lift is not as severe as what I'm talking about here, but it's a doctor nonetheless, right? You want to do your research, look at the reviews, really figure out if this the doctor, if this is the doctor for you. Another doctor that's in the news is this one right here. This is doctor, or former doctor rather, Ricardo Cruciani, 68 years old. Now, if you don't know this name, you will, because when I tell you this story, you're going to be like, damn, how did I not know this guy? Well, this is a doctor. Now, listen to this. He was arrested more than 4 years ago after at least 17 patients, not one patient, not two, not seven, 17, double digits, 17 patients came forward to accuse him of misconduct. What kind of misconduct are you thinking? You thinking what? Maybe they, maybe he took out the wrong organ, maybe he, you know, didn't do a good procedure and they have side effects. Much worse. Listen to this. First of all, let's get this out in the open. He was out on a $1 million bond as the case played out in court, but was remanded to Rikers following his conviction. You know how bad of a person you are? Forget about Jose Alda, who was released. Jose Alba, he's out of Rikers. He was a bodega worker. He's leaving New York City. And I recommend that he does that for his own safety after what he's been through. But this guy was actually on Rikers. 17 patients came out, accused him of misconduct. And during his trial, prosecutors described him as a, quote, evil in a white coat. Evil in a white coat. And told jurors he was a small, devious man who could have used his highly intelligent ways for good instead of bad. What did this guy do that could cause him to go to Rikers, be called all these names, and be hit with a $1 million bond? Well, for more than a decade, prosecutors said, he treated patients with rare diseases and chronic pain. You know, and then got them hooked on highly addictive pain medication. We've heard this before, right? He could coerce them into performing sexual acts in exchange for the drugs. So technically, he got them hooked on the pain meds and then traded sexual favors for more prescriptions. You will see that he each had a history, a demeanor, a broken past that made them his perfect victim, according to the Manhattan assistant DA, Shannon Lucy. He built trust in each of them. He pathologically got to know their weaknesses, their vulnerabilities. Following a month-long trial, Cruciani was convicted on 12 counts of third-degree rape, sexual abuse, attempted rape, predatory sexual assault, and criminal sexual act. He was due to be sentenced on September 14th. One of his victims, Hillary Tulin, testified at Cruciani's trial after he orally raped her while treating her for a debilitating pain condition in the early 2000s. As many victims now won't have the chance to address him in court during his sentencing. Why, do you ask? Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm going to say unfortunate because he should suffer. He was found unresponsive in a shower at Rikers with a sheet wrapped around his neck. I'm sorry, at the Eric M. Taylor Center around 6 a.m. Sources claim Cruciani was on suicide watch and the officer assigned to watch him had left the post. We've heard this before, but the DOC and Correctional Health Services couldn't immediately confirm whether he was in general population. He was only on Rikers for about 2 weeks after he was found guilty on July 29th of manipulating and abusing six of his patients at Beth Israel Medical Center and later at facilities in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Another story of the camera not being on, or the person not being at the post. Jeffrey Epstein. Anyway. So yeah, quote, it is a sad day for all of his victims who will never get to have finality and never have the chance to address the defendant to tell him directly how his crimes greatly impacted their lives, said Hillary Tulin, one of the victims. I feel more fortunate than some because I had the opportunity to testify before a jury and was validated by their verdict. However, there are other women in the federal and New Jersey criminal cases who will never get the chance at criminal justice, she continued. Oof. That's sad. His decision today was in no sign of a remorse of guilt or guilt, but purely of an act of self-preservation. He simply could not stand facing the rest of his life behind bars. She began seeing Cusciani at Beth Israel beginning in 2002 for a regional pain disorder and soon became dependent on his care. In 2005, he forcibly kissed her during one of their sessions, and while she tried to stay away from him after the attack, she came back to his office several weeks later when her pain again became impossible to manage. You have nowhere else to go, and you know that, and he knows that, she says. This is back in 2017, she said this. When she returned to his office, Tulin said that Cusciani began orally raping her and forcing himself on her orally in exchange for the medications that she needed. There was nothing consensual about it, she said. When you're being held in a locked office with someone for 3 hours and you know that the person holds your health in his hands, you make a decision. And my decision was that I wanted to be able to walk again. I wanted to be able to use my arms and legs. Jeffrey Fritz, an attorney who represents 30 of Cruciani's victims across various states, including Tulin, told the Post his clients feel cheated of justice. One of those women, Terry Phoenix, said justice is coming to Cusciani one way or another. I take comfort knowing he now faces another judge. Cusciani's attorney wasn't aware of his death when reached by the Post and didn't return multiple requests. Well, I don't believe that shit at all. The DA's office also didn't return any requests for comment. Wow. Cusciani's passing marks a 12th in custody death at the DOC. I've told you guys, it happens a lot. So far this year, a 50% increase from the 8 fatalities seen by this time last year. His death is the 9th suspected or confirmed suicide. 9th suicide, guys, on the DOC's watch since January 21 and the 3rd so far this year. That's a lot of people killing themselves in supposedly protective custody. Not protective custody, but, you know, suicide watch. The agency has been in the throes of a crisis as it grapples with a ballooning jail population and staffing shortages caused by a surge in retirements, resignations, and chronic absenteeism. Detainees and people are serving out sentences on Rikers Island are frequently left unsupervised because there aren't enough staff to ensure all posts are manned at all hours. The chronic issues at the troubled jail complex led Manhattan prosecutors to threaten a federal takeover of the facility earlier this year, forcing the DOC to submit a 30-page plan showing them how they will rectify the problems. Now, in June, Chief Judge Laura Taylor Swain accepted the plan and gave them until November to put it into action. In late June, Adams held a victorious press conference on Rikers Island days after two detainees died within a 48-hour period. Told reporters, I am truly pleased with what I'm seeing. In defense of the agency. What? Mayor Adams held a victorious press conference on Rikers Island days after two detainees died within a 48-hour period, telling reporters, quote, I am truly pleased with what I'm seeing. Well, I don't believe, I mean, that could be, I mean, one doesn't mean the other. I mean, he doesn't, not necessarily, the way they worded that makes it seem like he's happy with those two people dying. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying he's happy that there's been improvements in the prison. But according to this, I don't see any improvement. I mean, you're going to tell me freaking 12th in custody death at the DOC so far, 50% increase from the 8 last year. I mean, his death is the 9th suspected or confirmed suicide. I mean, do people really commit suicide this often in prison? I don't know. I think maybe he, he affected so many people. I mean, 30 people. He affected so many people. Maybe one of them knew somebody in prison and was able to, you know, finish the job, I guess you could say, and his you know, end his life before the court, before, you know, he's sentenced. Maybe that's what happened. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is it good that he's no longer on the earth, or would you rather him be behind bars forever with the taxpayer paying his you know, health insurance, his health, his well-being, his food, his cell? Or should his cell go to someone else? And maybe this is a better way for him to go. But at the same time, that, I mean, that sucks for the patients. I feel bad for these patients. This is, again, coming down to an issue where pharmaceuticals play such a big role. It makes you think about how many other people are really addicted to these kinds of drugs and what they will do and have done for them. How many other people are out there right now who are willing to do whatever it takes to get the pain medication that they need, or any kind of medication that they need? With inflation the way that it is, I mean, this was back in 2017, right? We're in 2022. I'm sure prices of pills have gone up, right? I'm sure it's, you know, I'm sure there's restrictions on them too, of how much you could buy or sell, or, you know, and, you know, maybe the, and people are out of work and people can't afford it with everything else going up. You know, even if the price of pills go down, if everything else around you is going up, you still don't have the money to pay for the pills. Or the doctor could be a dick, like this lady said, and just be like, you know, lock the door. You're in here for 3 hours. What do you want to do? I'll, you know, maybe he's giving them to him without even paying. Maybe that was the form of payment, not even the prescription. Maybe it's just, all I got to do is do this, and I'll get them, and I get to use my money to pay for my kids this, or use my money, the extra money to pay for this bill or that bill. And, you know, and maybe people are just living this horrible, controlling life at the mercy of their doctor. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. But I mean, if this is only happening in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania with this doctor, and this is just one doctor, how many other doctors are out there that have done this, that are still doing this, that are getting away with it all over the country, all over the world? You know, and it's like, I kind of understand her pain. Like, who can you turn to? I mean, I guess you can go see a psychiatrist, you can go to another doctor, but eventually you're going to get the medical chart from the previous doctor, and who knows, what if the previous doctor, what if the current doctor, the one who's blackmailing you, whatever you want to call it, raping you, is going to say, I'm going to put this in your chart and make it say, well, you can't get, you know, any other medication. They can make it seem like you're an addict, and now you're really going to be in pain. So you're kind of, I kind of understand when she says she's at the mercy of the doctor, and that's freaking horrible, man. That's horrendous. What do you do? Man, that sucks. I mean, hopefully in the future, you know, with technology advancing and stuff like that, they're able to come up with some kind of formula or chemical or something that you could take to alleviate your pain. I mean, if it's that severe that you can't walk, she was saying. Oh my God, I can only imagine, guys. Hopefully none of you guys are suffering with that that problem, whether it be the pain or with the doctor. If so, I truly hope you're able to talk to somebody, go see a therapist, or go to another doctor out of state, or you know, talk to someone else. Maybe there's another route you can take where you don't have to be subjected to these kinds of blackmail. I mean, what else do you call it? I mean, it is rape, but you're getting something in return for something, and you're kind of forced to take it. Otherwise, you're screwed. So it's either blackmail, bribery, rape. I mean, all three combined, it's fucked up. It's what it is. And I truly hope no one's dealing with that. I really do hope it was just a one doctor case. But what I'm seeing, some of these doctors out here, they want to help, but they'd rather help themselves, is what I'm seeing. And that's a shame. What happened to that Hippocratic Oath or whatever it's called? They don't take that no more, or that just, I guess that goes away with like swearing on the Bible. They don't really believe in that these days, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, hope you guys have a fantastic Monday. Excuse me. Hope you have a fantastic Monday. Please comment below. Please hit me up on Twitter at CJ Bronson Show. I got the TikTok, Rumble, videos are all out. CJBronsonShow.com for all my podcasts. Have a fantastic Monday. I love y'all. Bye-bye.